From NPR News, this is News in Notes. I'm Ed Gordon. Last night, President Bush announced his nominee to succeed Sandra Day O'Connor on the Supreme Court. The president presented Judge John Roberts Jr. at the White House.
When a president chooses a justice, he's placing in human hands the authority and majesty of the law. The decisions of the Supreme Court affect the life of every American. And so a nominee to that court must be a person of superb credentials and the highest integrity, a person who will faithfully apply the Constitution and keep our founding promise of equal justice under law. I have found such a person in Judge John Roberts.
Roberts has served on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia for 2 years. He's also over the years argued dozens of cases before the Supreme Court. Joining us to discuss the Roberts nomination is NPR senior correspondent Juan Williams. He joins us from Washington. Also with us, Ron Walters, professor of government and politics at the University of Maryland at College Park. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us. Greatly appreciated. Juan, let me go to you. The last 12 hours in Washington, obviously all abuzz in terms of this nomination. Do you, from what you're hearing, believe this to be a smart political nomination?
It's pretty smart, Ed. The president initially was thought yesterday, as you know, all the speculation around Washington was about Edith Clement, who was on the Fifth Circuit out of New Orleans. And the thought there was that that was a smart, moderate pick, would not set off a large fight in the Senate Judiciary Committee, because it was clear from her previous statements that she felt that when it came to abortion, it was settled law, that it was nothing to be overturned should she go to the high court. That had turned off some members of the right-wing coalition that was going to support the president's nominee. The Family Research Council, headed by Tony Perkins, actually dropped out. But then when it became apparent that that was, kind of a head fake, that the president actually was going to nominate someone else, and that someone else became Judge Roberts, that coalition really came back together. And the thinking is that they feel much more comfortable with Judge Roberts than they do did with Edith Clement, and that has caused consternation among groups on the left who are worried that, in fact, he's a stealth candidate. Wade Henderson, the head of the Leadership Conference on Civil Rights, put out a statement that said, quote, "We are saddened that President Bush chose the politics of conflict and division over bipartisan consensus."
Here's a man, Ron Walters, and I'm talking about Judge Roberts, obviously, who has intimated that the rule of law trumps ideology. If one is to believe that, despite what we are hearing about what may be his personal beliefs on abortion and the like, do you feel confident that this man is going to get through a Senate confirmation?
Yes, I think he probably will get through the Senate confirmation, but not because of the reason. That the rule of law trumps ideology. I think here is someone who is a bona fide member of the right wing, having joined the Ronald Reagan's administration early on, and then come up through clerking for Justice Rehnquist, and then, of course, William French Smith, this Solicitor General, not to mention Herbert Walker Bush, George Herbert Walker Bush, and now, of course, his son. So he is what one could call a dependable member of the right-wing legal establishment. And in his non-judicial ideology, he is a member of the Federalist Society. So he is very ideological. And I think that certainly has shown up in some of the decisions that he has rendered.
Clearly, Juan, we're going to see during these confirmation hearings an attempt by Democratic senators to get him to talk ideology and to get him to go on the record. He has faced hearings before where he chose not to, as we've seen in the past with others, discuss their private thoughts of any given hot-button issues of the day. Do you expect these hearings to be contentious?
They will be somewhat contentious, Ed. Already what we've heard from John Kerry, who was the Democrats' nominee for president in 2004, he said that this candidate, John Roberts, is, quote, "no Sandra Day O'Connor." And Dick Durbin, also a leading Democrat from Illinois, said Bush really has guaranteed a controversial confirmation process. And I think a lot of it is going to have to do with, just as you said, Ed, what he said in his last confirmation hearings and how much he'll say this time. Last time when he was asked about having issued a brief when he was in the Solicitor General's office that said that Roe v. Wade, the abortion decision, was, quote, "wrongly decided and should be overturned," his response was that he was writing that as an advocate for his client And I think he said something like, there's nothing in my personal views that would prevent me from applying the law that's precedent. So what he was saying was, you know, I'll just interpret the law. But now that he's going to be on the Supreme Court, he gets to set the law. And I think people are going to say, well, now that you're in a more powerful position, what is it that you have to say? The Republicans, of course, will fight back and say, you can't ask a judge about his views. It's inappropriate. But that's going to be the struggle.
Ron, we're going to see early on if indeed he is confirmed and takes a seat on the bench, perhaps his attitude toward one of the hot button issues, abortion, with the idea of what will be looked at, partial birth abortion and parental notification. Is this going to be a key, a bellwether that liberals will take a look at and perhaps point to?
Well, yes, they've already sort of looked at that as a potential area that they're going to look at, because primarily because he participated in a decision in which he, in effect, said that he believed that Roe was wrongly decided and should be overturned. The question is whether or not he was representing his role as Solicitor General, or whether or not that was something he also believed. So you can look for a number of questions from the senators about trying to separate out his personal view from that particular role. But I would hasten to say that Roe, and we've heard a lot from commentators about the fact that Roe is central to this, but let's not negate the civil rights record, because here we have, in the words of the Alliance for Justice, someone who is staunchly hostile to civil rights. If you go back and you look at the fact that he was in his role in Mobile versus Bolden in 1980, Voting Rights Act case, or housing desegregation cases in the 1990s. Here is someone who, because of his intelligence, was important in laying sort of the conceptual background for conservative opposition to civil rights.
One of the things, and Ron beat me to it, and we were going to get to that, and let me place this in front of you. The idea that so many civil rights issues and affirmative action being front and center have been hanging on, quite frankly, with a razor-thin thread, 5-4, Sandra Day O'Connor being the linchpin to many in saving many of these decisions. How optimistic are you that if indeed we start to see these issues come before the court again, that you're not going to see the overturning and the concern that we hear from many, what will be regression within the civil rights gains that we've seen over the years?
I don't have any basis for confidence there, Ed. I think Ron Walters is right when he points out some of the record as it stands. And you think about what Wade Henderson, the Leadership Conference for Civil Rights, had to say. Basically, they say, you know, he's a stealth candidate. They describe him, fairly or unfairly, but this is the way they describe him, as a Justice Scalia or Justice Thomas, who is now masquerading in Justice O'Connor's, Sandra Day O'Connor's robes. So there is a sense that we don't know. So there's a sense of, wait a second, withhold judgment. But when you look at the record, as Ron Walters was pointing out, this is a clearly a strong conservative. And I would say it's almost as if he's more pro-business than he is anti-civil rights. It's as if he's looking out, in terms of his judicial record, looking out for not only the law as it stands, the Constitution, not to be an activist judge, not to interpret the law, but to simply act on the Constitution. And he does this in a way that protects the rights of business time and again, which fits with the Bush administration's agenda, I think, for the second term.
And Ron Walters, obviously, we hear Juan Williams talk about the stealth candidate. I'm sure the Bush administration thought about presentation here. This man does not outwardly seem as zealous as many others that could have been chosen. This, of course, was part of the political strategy when he knew this nominee would be scrutinized to the nth degree.
Well, yes, and I think Ron's got it right. Here's someone who doesn't have a long resume, who's been on the D.C. Court of Appeals for 20 months. But stylistically, you look at Linda Greenhouse in the New York Times this morning saying that, you know, there are no flame-throwing articles, no speeches, no judicial opinions that threaten established precedent, no visible hard edges. And so it looks as though there's some sort of consensus around this guy forming already, even in the media. I think that here is the balance between, on the one hand, the fact that he represents a sort of stylistically a new generation of sort of mainstream, acceptable conservative. And on the other hand, his principles are very much in line with the conservatives. And so they do represent a threat to disadvantaged groups.
Juan, any surprise here? So much speculation. No African-American, no female, no Latino. What we ended up with was, yet again, another 50-year-old white male.
Well, I think it was a bit of a surprise, but, you know, you can't, it's impossible to get totally inside the process, Ed. But we can say that clearly Alberto Gonzalez, the attorney general, was a principal who was highly considered by this president. And then came this rash of concern about, well, what about a woman to replace a woman, Sandra Day O'Connor, so you wouldn't simply have Justice Ginsburg as a lone woman on the court. That led to the discussion of Judge Edith Clement as well as Judge Edith Jones. Lots of concern about their record with regard to abortion there. And now you end up with a white male, and I might add a white male whose net worth, according to the financial disclosure statements that we're seeing now, is about $3.8 million. He has two kids, both adopted, grew up in Indiana, born in Buffalo, but very much conservative, Harvard Law School, clerk for Justice Rehnquist. All of the conservative credentials you heard mentioned earlier, working for President Bush, supporting this President Bush in the 2000 Florida recount. So what we know about him is he's very much a political person, has made contributions to politicians on the right only, and that's what we know about him. The fact that he's brilliant, is that sufficient protection against questions about ideology? That's what you're going to discover in the hearings, which are now scheduled to start in September.
Political fight to start, and we'll be there to cover it. NPR senior correspondent Juan Williams and Ron Walters, professor of government and politics at the University of Maryland at College Park. I thank you both for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
Coming up, parents force their gay teenager into a Christian boot camp. We'll tell you why. That's just one of the stories on today's roundtable. We'll be right back.